Enterprise Management 360, your main source for tech news, analysis, podcasts, and videos for the enterprise.
Hello and welcome to this EM360 podcast. My name is Max Curtin, Head of Content here at EM360 and your host on today's podcast. And in today's episode, I'm being joined by Walt Mayo, who's the CEO at Expert.ai. So Walt, welcome to the show and thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Max. Great to be here.
I'm happy to have you on the show and I'm looking forward to delving into today's topic. But before we get into that, would you mind just giving our listeners a bit of background on yourself and a bit on Expert.ai?
Sure, happy to do that. I joined Expert.ai as CEO just a little under a year ago. I have a broad background in technology, working internationally, and in particular focused on scaling up businesses who have developed a really compelling proposition for the market, typically outside the United States, and are looking to really drive scale and acceleration in the U.S. And that's certainly the case around Expert.ai. So 30 years ago, a couple folks had graduated from an early program in central Italy that was focused around this incredibly complex problem, which is how do you get technology to understand language the way people do? And Italy had had a historical strength in that field. And it goes back, I think many of you will recall the Turing test in the movie that came out a little while ago called The Imitation Game. And the Imitation Game was, can you get technology to represent language in a way that imitates how humans represent it? And so these folks started a company built around it. At that time, they called it Expert System, which was a field of artificial intelligence. And they single-mindedly pursued that passion of trying to take technology, trying to take software and apply it to language to replicate how humans understand language and all the value that that would unlock. And so they built the first spell check program for Microsoft in Italian, and they licensed that. And then they continued to build out. And about 14 years ago, they started to create an entire platform that would make it practical at the enterprise level, software that you could bring to bear at the enterprise level to do a host of different things associated with language, whether it's email classification or customer support or accelerating processes. So kind of before AI was cool, think back to kind of 2008, 2009, they were very quietly building these solutions and then selling them to some flagship blue chip companies like Swiss Re and AXA in the insurance space, Dow Jones in publishing and information. And about a year ago, they recognized that there was a market moment where AI had entered the mainstream and our own technology had gotten to the point where we could really scale it. And I was fortunate enough that they brought me onto the team. We have our core R&D 50 world-class engineers, among the very best in the world at natural language understanding, based in Italy. And then we've been building out the team here in the United States with our sales and marketing side. And so I'm coming along for this next phase, which should be extraordinarily exciting.
Excellent stuff. That's quite a story and nice to kind of see that growth there. And obviously having yourself slot in means you're the kind of perfect person to kind of go through these questions with and delve into what we're discussing today. And on today's episode, we're going to be exploring the future of artificial intelligence and its relationship with natural language and application program interface. Now, obviously, we're going to use a lot of acronyms as we're going through with AI, NL, API and NLU. So just we'll clarify as we're going through, just so that people don't get lost who aren't that familiar. But I just wanted to kick off here, Walt, by obviously, let's set the groundwork first of all. And can you give us an overview of the current state of AI as it stands?
Sure, Max, happy to do that. And to be clear, there's relatively little danger that I'm going to get so technical that I'm going to lose the broad audience because I'm coming in from a business perspective. As I said, we have some of the best engineers in the world in natural language understanding. And one of the co-founders, Marco Barone, of Expert.ai is our CTO. And very fortunately for everybody, he doesn't need any help in terms of building world-class, cutting-edge AI solutions. Where I'm really focused on is, how do you make it work? How do you bring it into the enterprise to solve real-world problems? And when I described earlier this kind of market moment, I think it captures where we are in AI. There's the very popular book that came out some while ago by Geoffrey Moore called Crossing the Chasm. And what he was describing there is that moment in which a company can move from an early adopters to the mass market, to that majority market where it goes to scale. And what he pointed out at a company level is more broadly true at a technology level. So if you look at almost any technology adoption cycle, it tends to follow a common pattern. So there's initial excitement, a lot of uncertainty, a fair amount of money spent, and then there's this point at which reality sets in and you say, how do I make it work in a practical, scalable, repeatable way, relevant to what I'm doing, whether I'm an insurance company or an automobile company, or I'm in financial services? That's what's happening in AI. So I would say over the last 3 years or so, there's been this incredible excitement about AI. And you've seen a lot of people move into the space, enterprises with the CEO and CIO and chief data officer all feeling that they needed to develop AI capabilities. There was that kind of fear of missing out that drove a tremendous amount of activity. And there was also a little bit of irrational exuberance, to use the term, right? That AI was going to, in some capacity, provide a huge breakthrough capability that would revolutionize the enterprise. There was going to be this grand unified algorithm that would come out and solve previously unsolvable problems. And to be clear, there is that promise out there. But what has set in over, I would say, the last 12, 18 months is the complexity. You know, one industry observer said the real world is messy, and getting AI technology to work in the enterprise for real world problems is hard. We've had a couple data points that came out. Gartner said that only about 50% of AI projects in the enterprise ever see the light of day. They never get past the kind of experimentation phase. And BCG, Boston Consulting Group, and MIT did a study, and they said that only about 10% of the AI projects that have been deployed thus far in the enterprise have demonstrable financial results. And that's on an estimated spend in 2020 of about $50 billion. So I think right now what you're seeing is a lot of attention shifting away from the next evolution of AI to how do we get what we have now to work in a way that will drive real value. And with that is coming an increasing appreciation of some of the complexity that comes with AI. So this idea that AI is somehow exceptional, that it shouldn't be bounded by the normal rules of business sense around, does it deliver ROI? What are the other implications of it when it's implemented? It's software at the end of the day, right? Somebody described, actually it was a Google researcher going all the way back to about 2014. And they said, some forms of AI are the high interest credit card of technical debt, in the sense that when you implement AI, particularly in the way it's structured in a lot of applications, there's a big tail of complexity that's associated with it. So that's kind of where everyone is grappling right now. Now, fortunately, we feel like we're uniquely positioned to address that, which is why we're so excited about the opportunity ahead for us.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with what you're saying there, Walter. It's very interesting to see, as you said, especially over the past 18 months, this kind of rise of the AI adoption and a lot of people wanting to access it. But it's having that understanding of, is this beneficial? Is this going to be helpful towards the business. And I think that's a lot of what we're going to be covering today, of introducing these applications and these methods to really be beneficial for organizations, and how do they really get to that point. And another element that we obviously need to bring into the conversation here, which I brought in the introduction, was natural language. So NLP, a lot of attention was thrown at it last year. So we've spoken about the benefits of AI, but what are the primary business benefits of NLP?
Well, so that's what we do, to be very clear. Expert.ai is focused, as I said, around this kind of unwavering passion that goes way back to when Marco and the co-founder started the company, of applying technology to language. And so let's start with kind of some of the bigger picture elements, right? Which I think on reflection will be intuitive, but it's not something that we tend to reflect on. First of all, language is data. It's just the data that we use in our everyday communication. It's how human beings exchange data day in, day out. And because of that, language powers business. It permeates business. It surrounds business. So the enterprise is driven in almost every fashion by this exchange of language data, whether it's for processes that have language elements around it, or it's for internal communication, or for external communication, or for finding knowledge and deriving insight from the language that surrounds the enterprise. Right. And then the third element that most people would relate to is the volume of language data has exploded. So as you think about the amount of content that is created, the amount of exchanges that take place in language, whether it's in social media or in email, with the kinds of things that we're doing right now, podcasts and so forth, all of that is language data. Right. So you've got this the kind of the three tiers: language is data, it powers business, and it's grown exponentially. So then the question for AI as it's applied to language is, how do you capture strategic value from the language data at speed and scale? And I think most people would recognize that as a relevant question to ask. If there's knowledge and insight out there, and if processes are powered by language, then how can you use technology to accelerate your ability to derive knowledge, turn it into insight, and make faster, smarter, and more consistent decisions? And that in itself, I think, is a fairly intuitive and very, very powerful opportunity for AI and language. So that's the problem set that's out there, or call it the opportunity set that's out there. And NLP, natural language processing, and natural language just means the language of human beings, as opposed to, say, software language, right, which is a symbolic language, but it's not the way human beings communicate. So natural language is human language. So you have natural language processing and natural language understanding. And what you've seen over the last several years is, in particular, an approach towards natural language processing that has been almost exclusively weighted towards one methodology in artificial intelligence. And broadly, that's called machine learning. And some people will call it statistical approaches. And it's essentially software that uses very advanced mathematics to try to predict meaning. And there's been a lot of excitement around some of the developments that have occurred, but in a way that is similar to that broader dynamic that I described, Max, around the complexity is starting to emerge. I think there's increasing recognition of some of the limitations of a pure machine learning or statistical approach. So I'll give as an example, OpenAI, which is the consortium that was funded to pioneer research on artificial intelligence, they released a model just last year called GPT-3. And it's a very large language model. It was essentially trained on the entire contents of the internet. So if you think about the training set that was required, it was more or less everything that's ever been written on the internet in English. And it has about 175 billion parameters. And think of a parameter as a weighting that influences how the model behaves, how it interprets language. Google just released another model that now has 1 trillion parameters. And the idea is trying to solve this kind of paradox of what's easy for people is hard for machines. Language is easy for people, right? We grow up, we have a language instinct, we use it every day, but it's incredibly difficult for machines. So kind of the perverse outcome that's occurring now, though, is that in the quest for a simplified, generalized model of language understanding, it's gotten absurdly complex. 175 billion parameters, the next model, 1 trillion parameters. And the costs associated with that are starting to get extraordinarily high. So training GPT-3, for example, it's estimated that it costs about $10 million each time you train it. So it's out of the reach of just about everybody. It's also extraordinarily opaque. Nobody really understands the outputs that are produced by the model. And then there's some very practical implications, like these models are getting so large that training 1 language model, for example, can produce the carbon footprint of 5 automobiles over their entire lifetime. It's that computationally intense. So there's been this kind of, I think, growing recognition in the last, and it's really only been within the last 12 months or so, that we're coming to a plateau around the value of that approach. And some folks have kind of called it a little bit of a religious war because there's been another approach. And that other approach is much closer to how humans use language. It's called semantic or symbolic. And it's essentially capturing and embedding language in its context and then applying artificial intelligence to accelerate the ability of the technology to understand the language. Right? That's been the approach that expert.ai has consistently maintained, even at a point at which it was really considered, I don't want to say passé, but most everyone else was really focused on machine learning. And what we found is right now there's a broad recognition that there is no grand unified solution that will miraculously emerge from an ever larger model. One researcher at the University of Washington said, you know, you don't get to the moon by building another floor on the world's tallest building. That's just not going to happen. And so there's much more of an emphasis now on how do you combine techniques in natural language understanding and natural language processing and use kind of common sense guardrails to guide the outcome that will actually solve a problem in your enterprise so that you can find the relevant information, derive the appropriate insights, and make faster, smarter, and more consistent decisions. So that's kind of where NLP, NLU is right now.
Yeah, and I think that's very key to kind of understand for people is having that understanding of it's there and that there is complexities to it, but it is accessible for a lot of organizations. And I was doing a piece earlier last year about with the NLP industry survey, and we were talking about adoption rates going up, budgets are growing, people are using more cloud integrations. You know, people are looking for this NLP taken a lot of organizations. So it's interesting to get from your perspective then, well, what are these key considerations that organizations need to be thinking about and seriously thinking about if they're to deploy NLU, NLP in an organization, and what is the opportunity does that bring to them?
So, you know where I think they need to start, Max, is where any good business starts, which is what is it that drives their competitive advantage? What is it that they want to do better than anyone else? And start with their domain. Start with the problems that they're trying to solve or the opportunities that they think they can create. I think what happens too often, particularly in the early days of technology adoption, is people start with, let's get the technology and then figure out what it can do. And that's upside down. So I think it That in turn implies that it has to be collaborative from the beginning. It should not exist solely in the realm of the data scientists or the chief data officer, but it really needs to be an understanding from the business line owners, from the subject matter experts that face a challenge day in and day out. So broadly in NLP and NLU, there's kind of two things that they should be thinking about. What are language processes that they can accelerate? The other is, what is knowledge that they want to discover that's currently difficult to find? And NLP and NLU can meaningfully address those two challenges. When we talk about processes and accelerating the processes, there's more I can add to that. At a deeper level, really what you're thinking about is, how do I embed the expertise that I possess in the enterprise so that it becomes a new level, broadly available, repeated throughout the enterprise, that then you can build on? So you're accreting your expertise. And that's an area, again, where we excel. We think that having the combination of approaches that we offer, which is hybrid NL, what we call it, enables you to effectively take that expertise and let people become better at what they do, become expert at what they do, hence the name expert.ai.
Excellent. I think that's very important to kind of understand for a lot of organizations who are looking at this as a method. Is this applying to set sectors, or where are you seeing it making kind of the biggest impact from your experience of what you've discussed with customers?
It starts with those verticals, those sectors that are most language intensive for obvious reasons. It's core to their business model, right? So we're particularly strong in publishing, information services, and media, because that's the core of their competitive value proposition, taking information, structuring it in a way to make it more meaningful so that people can consume it and derive some value from that. What we found, though, is it extends as well to verticals that might not be obvious immediately if you think about them as language-driven businesses, but insurance is a language-driven business. The two big processes, which are underwriting risk and then paying claims, are all driven by language. An assessment of risk, typically in a written document, an assessment of a claim, also taking in a variety of language-based information. And then it extends out to the more generalized use cases, where particularly in the last year, as we've all faced the impact of the coronavirus pandemic, more and more of what's happening is happening virtually in any enterprise. So customer interaction. So the kinds of things that people bring to bear as their customers seek to get information. And, you know, that goes all the way back to, you know, something that most of us are familiar with. But if you think about very simple processes, like say an FAQ, right? Frequently asked question. I think most of us, when we go on to FAQ in any given business with which we're dealing with, we've got something that we think is a fairly basic question. We think it's frequently asked. And yet the results that come back can be maddeningly frustrating, right? Where it just doesn't even feel close. That kind of language-driven interaction is ubiquitous. And again, start with something that is a clear pain point that would drive real value. And then you can get deeper and deeper into the processes and the expertise that you possess in a company with a specific domain.
Yeah, I think that's a fair argument to kind of make in terms of the industries that need it most are kind of taking that impact and moving it forward. And it leads me nicely to my last kind of question here about really what is expert.ai doing to kind of make NLU, NLP ubiquitous at the enterprise level? I don't know if you have any use cases you want to throw at us or just some examples for this.
Well, we've done very well in the two verticals that I had mentioned, in publishing information media and insurance. But in fact, one of the benefits of us kind of working quietly before AI was cool, before everyone was talking about NLP and NLU, is we went out and earned business the old-fashioned way, which is to engage with enterprises across almost every major vertical, identify a language-driven process or element of their enterprise, and then apply our technology in a way that made us worth more than we cost, something to keep track of from time to time. And as a result, we've got a huge amount of experience with just about every natural language use case that you can think of across almost every major vertical. And so what we focus our efforts on is how do we take that experience, real world, and we delivered end-to-end the solution and package it and simplify it in a way that would make it much easier to power language understanding in any application to enable an expert enterprise. So whether it's a technology stack or whether it's a work process, providing the tools and the workflow that demystify the complexity of applying AI technology to natural language understanding so that developers working with subject matter experts can derive real value in a repeatable and scalable way. Overcoming a lot of the obstacles that I mentioned with some of the other approaches, like the cost of compute power, the explainability, bias is another issue that emerges, reusability, so that it's robust, it's scalable, it's understandable, it's relatively inexpensive to operate, and it's accessible. So we've been putting together a set of tools. We just released our natural language API, which is a cloud-hosted version of our language understanding. And you can access that for free from our website. You can download the SDKs, and you can get up and running in about an hour. And at that point, you can start to take the documents that you have, feed them into our natural language understanding engine, our NL API, and then get back structured information that you then can use to power language understanding in any application. And at the enterprise level, what we're building out is an end-to-end workflow that takes every part of that kind of process from the data through to designing and building the model that will work for your given application, and then at the end, operating it at scale and deploying it in the enterprise. So it's all around making it simpler, more accessible, so that it can power language understanding and it becomes a capability, not an experiment. It's a capability that you can embed in your enterprise to make faster, better decisions around anything involving language.
Excellent stuff. I think that's very key with the simpler and accessible is what everyone's looking for. And it's honestly impressive what you guys are working on. So Walt, thank you for coming on today's episode, walking us through all of this and explaining everything NLP and AI.
Well, Max, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you everyone who took the time to listen to this episode. We do hope you took a lot away from our discussion. If you would like more information or to check out the resources, then please head on over to expert.ai. There's a lot of great stuff that Walt was mentioning that you can check out. We'll be back soon with another episode in our podcast series. In the meantime, please join the conversation at Ian360 on Twitter and LinkedIn. And of course, for more great daily content, head on over to em360tech.com.